Let's go into God's word today in the book of Exodus and chapter 33. The second book of the Bible written by Moses, titled Exodus chapter 33, and we'll read from verse 7. Exodus 33, reading from verse 7. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that a pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you said to me, 'Bring up these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Can we read verse 15 together? Verse 15, 2, read. "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." We'll be sharing on the topic this morning, God's presence. God's presence. Moses, at a point in time in his journey leading the children of Israel, said, "Lord, you have been with us thus far. If you are not with us, we won't go anywhere. We desire, we covet your presence. If your presence does not go with us, we would not go anywhere." Joshua was also the man who succeeded Moses, was assured of God's presence. God said to him in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." Talking about God's presence. And if we flip over to the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 28, he died, rose again, and before ascending to heaven, he made this statement, reading from verse 18, Matthew 28. We are very familiar with verses 18 and 19. "And Jesus came and spoke to him, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" Verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But I want you to watch verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And let us read the last statement. Verse 22. Read. "And lo, behold," note, observe, watch, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Not only was God's presence manifested in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus, before he ascended, promised that his presence will always be with us. Don't forget, we are talking about God's presence. And this year, our theme is what? What is our theme for this year? Send your revival, O Lord. Can you complete it? Again, send your revival, O Lord. And let it start with me. Revival, as we know, is when God comes down. It talks about God's presence. A heightened awareness of God that permeates an entire community. But revival, before it will happen, usually will start with an individual or a group of individuals. And don't forget that we need to put revival in the proper perspective. Revival is not just the Sunday meeting or the Tuesday meeting or the crusade. It is when God comes down, two major things happen. When God's presence becomes more real than before. The first is that sinners, unbelievers are convicted. Part B of that is that those who are already believers, who are already God, Jesus' followers, are changed to be more Christ-like. When revival comes, unbelievers are convicted. Those of us who are already believers are changed to be more Christ-like. The second thing that happens when revival comes is that the power of God that accompanies his presence judges the power of the devil, breaks the hold of principalities and powers which are responsible for sin and sinful habits, which are responsible for sickness and bondage and affliction, which are responsible for poverty, which are responsible for oppression. God's power is available to heal, to deliver. And if you look through the Acts of the Apostles, you will see that following Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, you saw signs and wonders taking place every day, commonplace. Why? Because God had taken over. My prayer is that as God takes over in this church, as God takes over in our lives, signs and wonders will be commonplace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading in the course of January, I never saw it before in my Bible. And it is there. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Describing Jesus as the ruler over the kings of the earth. Ruler over the kings of the earth. You may describe yourself as a king, as a lord, as a principality, as a power. But Jesus Christ rules over all, including principalities and powers, including mights and dominions, including every name that is named in this world, and that which is to come. Ruler over the kings of the earth. And I put it R-O-K-E. I have a savior. The Bible describes him as ruler over the kings of the earth. So who is the king who is tormenting you? Who is the king who is afflicting you? Who is the king who is oppressing you? Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the ruler over the kings of the earth. So when revival comes, it means his presence comes. And we are saying revival should start with us. So it means God's presence should be with us. If revival is going to start with you, then you must carry God's presence. If revival is going to start with you, God's presence must be with you, not a few times, at all times. What are benefits of God's presence? Let's quickly go over that. The benefits of God's presence. Number one is that when God's presence is with you, don't forget Moses said he won't leave God unless you go with me. God promised Joshua he will be with him. And Jesus said, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. So the presence of God is promised us. But many of the times we don't experience it. I pray that from today you would manifest and experience God's presence in your life at home, in your school, in your work, in your business, at all times in the name of the Lord Jesus. What are the benefits? Number one, direction. When God's presence is with you, you will not be confused. He will let you know what to do, what not to do. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right and or whenever you turn to the left, with the presence of God with you, he will let you know, turn this way, don't turn this way. As we start a new year, as we continue in this year, if there's something you need, it is direction. There's a way that seems right unto a man. The Bible says it ends its destruction. It is God's presence that will help us not to trod the path of destruction. Many roads look like roads. Some of them are not roads. They lead into trouble. But when God's presence is with you, you will hear the voice that will tell you, this is the way to go. In your academics, in your secular work, in your family life, in your business life, in your decision making. With the pandemic that has affected many people, there's a new normal. You need to hear God directly and specifically in taking action. So God's presence has one of the benefits being direction. The second benefit is favor. When God's presence is with you, it brings with it favor. The Bible says in Psalm 5 and verse 12, Psalm 5 verse 12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as a shield. Even in the Old Testament, God promises that favor will surround you. And so when God's presence is with you, you have favor all around you. Do you know how it works? Please look up. Do you know how it works? Are we here this morning? Do you know how it works? When God is with you, when people see you, when they look at you, they don't see you, they see God. Have you heard before when somebody will say, I don't know what tells me to help you? Have you heard it before? I just don't know why I'm doing this. Normally I don't do this, but something tells me to do this. Have you heard it before? It's because they are not just seeing you, they are seeing God who is with you. You have heard me say before, in my secular work many years ago, a man visited my staff, my manager. And he said, come and greet my Oga. And he brought him to my office and I greeted him. The man is of the Muslim faith, is from the north, young man then, is an old man now. And so I greeted him 5 minutes and left. Later, he told his friend, who was my manager, we have this consultancy job in our office and I want your office to get it. He worked for us, came to take our application, defended us until we got the job. Job not paid in Naira many years ago. And so when 1 year or so later we had been paid, I went to see him and to say thank you. He said, no, I won't take anything from you. And he made one profound statement. I will still hear this morning. He said, the first time I met you, when my friend brought me to your office, as you stood up to shake me, something said to me, help this man. Somebody who is not a Christian, who is not from my tribe, meeting me for the first time, shaking my hand, and something, what is that something? The God that was with me said, I brought you to this man, that job that is waiting in your office, that is the man to give it to. God's presence brings favor. Number three, God's presence brings protection. If God be for you, who can be against you? If the ruler of the kings of the earth is by you, who can frighten you? Who can attack you? Elisha woke up one morning, sent his servant Gehazi to go and fetch water, maybe 5 a.m. And that one found that the Syrian army has surrounded them. They wanted to capture his boss. He ran back. Boss, we are in trouble. See these people, they are already here to capture you. Elisha said, what will I do? Kule. He said, oh, guy, I can't kule. I have wife and children. Elijah said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes. And God opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. That you will see, and you can check later in 2 Kings chapter 6. You can check it later. And he saw chariots, heavenly chariots of fire, more than the physical ones surrounding them. So if the Lord will open your eyes, you will see heavenly chariots surrounding you when God's presence is with you. The Bible says, I think that's in Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him, and he delivers them. God's presence brings protection. We're just going to mention four. We have mentioned three. Number one, direction. Number two, number three, number four, which may be surprising to us, is that God's presence convicts those people, sinners that you meet. If you are a carrier of God's presence, when you get somewhere where there is a sinner, the sinner may react. Because your presence carries God's presence, which convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You will see that it will not be comfortable when you get to the office. It will keep quiet. This holy sister has come. This holy brother has come. Why? Because you carry God's presence. And it convicts sinners to let them know that that sister is holy. You are unholy. What she is doing or he is doing, that sister, that brother doesn't do it. But what are the prerequisites to God's presence? Number one, first prerequisite to God's presence is that you must be born again. You must be born again. In other words, you must be a child of God. Thinking about this one, I just remember the children of the grandchildren of the queen, or the great-grandchildren of the queen, or the children of the president of America or prime minister of Britain. When they go to school, do they go alone? Bulletproof vehicle takes them to school. Agents of government, security men mix in their schools. Maybe some of them will be enrolled as teachers to keep watch on the child. So you see that nothing must happen to the child, whether he's in school or not. It is because it's the child of the queen or the president or the prime minister. Other children do not have that privilege. No, be so. When you are the child of God, God's presence surrounds you. Not because you are good, but because you are his child. So if you are here and you are not born again, we are not talking to you. Unless you give your heart to the Lord Jesus, unless you become a child of God, unless you confess your sin and ask Jesus to come in and be your Lord and your God, you cannot be assured of God's presence. Prerequisites to God's presence. Number one, be born again. Number two, please God. John chapter 8 verse 29. John chapter 8 verse 29. Jesus is speaking here. He says, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Is that in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Jesus saying, his Father who sent him never leaves him. He's always with him because he does the things that are pleasing to him.
To be assured of God's presence, your life must please God.
Let's read another scripture. John 14. St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, we read verse 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, that is God the Father and God the Son, will come to him and make our home with him." How many people want God to live with them? Wouldn't it be a privilege if your house, God the Father and God the Son, you enter your car, God the Father and God the Son, you get to your shop, and God the Father and God the Son are resident with you. He said, "If anyone loves me and keep my word." So God's presence is for those who have resolved, who have decided that their life will please God. And what does that mean? It means you want to obey him at all times. You want to do only what he asks you to say, what he asks you to do, not what everybody around you is doing, not what is popular, but what your Father says and permits you to do in his word. You need to please God in your deeds, in your actions, your visible actions, your secret actions, what you do in secret. You need to please God in your words, the words that come out of your mouth, in public and in private. What do you discuss with your wife about other people? What do you discuss with your husband? What do you discuss with your friend? Do you backbite? Do you destroy people at the back? And you think God does not see you? God sees everything. You need to please God in your deeds, in your words, and in your thoughts. What you think about. As you are sitting there, what are you thinking about? God knows. The Bible says, all things are naked and open unto God. He knows what you are thinking about. What is your motive? Are you keeping malice? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Do you envy your brother? Do you envy your sister? Then your heart is impure. Your heart is defiled. It cannot please God. You need to please God in your deeds, actions. Please God in your words. And please God in your thoughts, what you think about. When you do that, God says, myself and God the Father will come and make our home with you. I remember this story. A lady was being pressurized by a married man to commit adultery with him. So one day they went out to walk together. They walk in the same place. And on the way, he drove the lady into an hotel, paid for a room, went in with the lady and said, "Yes, I want to go to bed with you." The lady said, "No, this hotel is in town. Let's go to another hotel outside town." He left the hotel, went to another hotel far outside town, paid, and they entered the room. The lady said, "This one is still near town. Let's look for one that is far." He went to the third hotel, far. The lady said, "Excuse me, sir. Please, let's look for an hotel where God will not see us. We need this one. Please take me to an hotel where God will not see us." Many, many people do things because they do not know that God is with them. They think as long as the pastor does not see them, it is okay. As long as your husband doesn't see you, it is okay. As long as your wife doesn't see you, as long as nobody knows what you are thinking of, nobody sees you. If anybody loves me and obeys me, I and my Father would come and make our home with them. Nothing do I desire but God's presence. Let's stand up to prayer.
Do you desire God's presence? Speak to Him. Speak to Him this morning and say, Lord, do not leave me alone. You said you will be with me unto the end. If there's anything in my life that is not pleasing to you, that is not making you to like to stay with me, open my eyes, wash and cleanse me. Lord, please return to me. Please pray before we go this morning. Search me, dear Lord. Search my heart, my thoughts, my motives. Cleanse me. Make me a new one, more Christ-like in my action, words, and thoughts. Can you raise your two hands and say, Lord, I desire your presence. You say you will never leave me nor forsake me. Please come and abide with me at all times, at home, at work, at night, during the day, wherever I am. Dear Lord, I desire you. I want you. I want you, dear Lord. Please do not leave me. I want more of you.
Oh God. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you.
That is our heart's cry this day, dear Lord. You said, look, you. Please do not leave us. If there's anything we've been doing in times past that makes us dirty, that makes us repugnant to you, Lord, please forgive us. Please cleanse us inside out. Return to us with your presence to direct, to guide, to lead, to protect, and to favor us. Father and Son and Holy Ghost, please come and make your home with us. We pray in Jesus' name.